Hello and welcome to the Julian Gino podcast. We are your hosts, Gino and Julia Barbaro of Barbaro 360. And on today's episode, we've got two great guests today. Let me read off their bio to you. It's Cindy and Dr. Joe Farini. They're Cleveland-based speakers, authors, and longtime advocates for special needs families. With over 40 years of caregiving experience, they've shared their message through family life events, national radio, and Moody Radio. They've co-authored books on marriage and special needs and connect deeply with families navigating this journey. And today we're going to be focusing on their new book, The Special Needs Parent. Welcome to the show, Joe and Cindy.
Thank you.
Good to be with
you. Nice to be with you. The book, what made you write this book?
Well, let's just say that it was a book we never wished we had to write. It's really how that, the truth of it. So this is the third book that we've written in specifically to special needs. And we really wrote it because we wanted to concentrate on parents. Plus, Moody contracted us to write the book. We suggested another title and they suggested this one. And we said, sure. Our son is 45 almost years old. And so we both feel like we have gone through enough and experienced enough, not in perfection, but in experience that we've been able to help others, encourage others. And we wanted to put it in writing for everybody else to get a chance to have a guide. You know, we're looking for us to be a guide to help other families. And we always say, you know, if you have a three-year-old or a five-year-old, I really don't want to hear your special needs story, because until they go through puberty, we don't have a story.
I want to ask one more question before we jump into this topic. Cindy, how have you been able to write three books with Joe? It must have been tough to partner up. And
it's because he's Italian. Are we going to go with the? We were having a conversation before.
I was just saying. About... It just seems like Cindy's the more affable one, the more likable one. It seems like she'd be easier to work with, sort of like me and you. But no, but seriously, I mean, working as a couple, how has that been for you guys over the years?
True, that is so. Working as a couple, it can be very difficult. Joe was previously, before retirement, he was a dentist, and so I've worked occasionally in his office back in the day. I was a teacher many years ago. I taught high school for 5 years before our family came. So we've always worked together, whether it was in his office or ministry. We do a lot of different ministries. Discipleship is our main ministry. And so a lot of these things have come out of a heart of discipleship to help people along the way. And so I am the writer. I love writing. And so it comes easy to me. And we've written three books on special needs, but this is our 10th publication between different things that we've done. Really, the key is, truthfully, is that we divide and conquer. And so when he has something on his books, which we are very careful to make sure our calendars are in sync, I have care of the home and of Joey now that, you know, I mean, we still have Joey at in our home. And then it goes the other way around. If I'm speaking or I'm doing something, then he's in charge here at home. So it's really been something where we really have worked together to accomplish the different things between us as well as the things together.
My primary role is to edit. I'm the editor of the books. And so I'm the one that always asks the question, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're saying.
Which is good.
So, you're killing me. You're the critic. You're criticizing. Some people say that people that can't do, they criticize. So is that what's going on here? Cindy does, and you criticize. That's okay if you stay in your own lane. That's great. I mean, that's a word to the wise. If you just stay in your own lane and you divert your own responsibilities, that works too.
Sure.
It's part of delegation.
And really the beauty of it is when you are writing something, and perhaps you know this in things you've done, when you're writing something, you think you know what you're saying. And then he'll read it and he'll say, well, what are you trying to communicate here? And then I'll read it and say, I don't remember. I don't know what to clean this up. So it's really good. I don't know if a couple could sit down and actually write together. It would probably take forever unless you did a chapter. I did a chapter. But I think it flows better if there's one author and then one to really pick up the slack and say, this doesn't sound right. These words need to be different. And then actually, when this book went to the editor, I have to say it probably didn't need as much editing as maybe other books that we've written may have needed, because we really had time to do that and go over and over and over it and make it hopefully really a good read.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it shows a little bit of your marriage that you can write a book together and you could criticize each other. I think that says a lot about you. Actually, I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
100%. No, I think we, my husband and I get that a lot too. I want to go here first. I was going to ask you something else, but how do you, I'm not going to say make it work, but you've been married a while, you know, and
47.
That's unbelievable. And I want to put that out there. I think that's, people forget that that's the part that we sometimes overlook is the marriage. We're so focused on, you know, we're going to be talking about special needs children and raising them and just raising family life. We focus on all the other things in our life that we forget about working on each other and working on our marriage. And so what have you noticed over the years of just what worked, what didn't? Maybe you had some bad times and troubled times. Give us some insight.
The best resource that we can be for our child is to have a strong marriage. If this is not working, we can't really impart and be a good parent for our child, whether special needs or not. And so we are a team, and we look at ourselves as a team. Of course, that acronym TEAM, Together Each Accomplishes More, is what we really try to live up to. And our children, the siblings, which many times is an issue when it comes to special needs parenting, is that there are other children that are not special needs. And it requires us to make sure that we draw them in and include them in our decision-making process as much as possible. But that really kind of echoes the marriage relationship as well. We're a team.
Yeah. I would add to that this, you know, in marriage, if you're expecting to get your own way, then you're going to have a hard time. But when you had a child with special needs, and Joey was our first child, you had a child, any child, first of all, and you have a number of children, anytime you add a child, you're going to have be more selfless. But one of the things that both of our daughters, who are in their late 30s and early 40s, said about our family and our life, they said, I think the reason that it worked so well was that none of us got our way all the time. And so we couldn't be demanding and expecting everything go our way. And I think that's how it is with marriage. And honestly, we're kind of glad that this happened early in our marriage, because we see other couples our age who are in a situation caring for their 90-year-old parents, and they don't know what to do because they've never really had to stretch themselves to have endurance and perseverance and capacity to care for somebody else besides themselves. And so while it's been tough, we aren't going to say like, wow, life's been such a breeze, because everything has to go through the filter of how can we do this with Joey? Can we do this with Joey? But I really think that's a big part of it, that we never got our way all the time. Not that we didn't sometimes get our way and sometimes, but even now as a married couple nearing 50 years of marriage, I think that's one of the blessings of the marriage. I don't think it's the easiest thing, but in the long run, I think it's been a blessing, because I think we can ebb and flow. And as my mother-in-law used to say, you cannot be an oak, you must be a willow.
I love that. It's interesting. My wife's been through a lot of the trials and tribulations as well, dealing with me for the last 27 years.
Yeah.
And arguing and fighting, like 100%. And not getting your way.
I have the Italian husband, you know.
It's difficult that you say that. We have a lot of children. Yeah, we have a lot of children, so it's very similar to what you're saying. The kids are growing up, and they all can't have their way, and that's the way it is. Sometimes you win some, and sometimes you lose some, and I think that's how life actually is. Life is not fair all the time, and if you grew up in that kind of childhood and that kind of family, and you're not coddled, and that's just the way the life is, I think it does. You do grow up a lot differently, and then you will be prepared to have relationships once you become an adult.
Yeah, I think I was, yeah, something was coming up, but I want to go to you with this, is that, yes, it's, when you were talking, you reminded me of the old version of us, you know, very strict, trying to like worried all the time about being a parent, you're going to mess the kids up. And I think from years of experience, and I want to go here, is the conversation, how it changed over the years of, wow, we should include the kids in some of these conversations. And so that's where I want to go with is, you know, you have Joey and your son, and how did you incorporate conversations with your other children? Because you don't, you have, you know, when our kids have something that, you know, there has to be special attention. Maybe it's temporary. You know, we've had that in our life where it's just temporary, but we have to talk to the kids about it. You know, and so there's no resentment later on. And I see that you have a close family. So how do you navigate that?
Well, one of the resources, one of the tools that we use are our family meetings. I mean, on Friday night, Friday afternoons, Friday mm-hmm. dinner, we always kind of, that was our time to kind of debrief with the family. I mean, they may be 6 or 8 years old, but we're still going to debrief with them, you know, and it was kind of fun to hear their hearts. And it was that was a non-negotiable for us. And the other non-negotiable for me personally was that I dated my girls. And we'd go out and, I mean, we'd do donut runs or go to McDonald's or Burger King or something like that. But it was just one of those non-negotiables. And they love doing it and I love doing it. And it's kind of fun. Even today with their children, they'll ask them, hey, guys, you want to go on a donut run? And Grandpa, you want to go with us? But they call me Boopa, so I don't definitely. But it's kind of fun to see that tradition to carry on. But I think that was really one of those guiding lights, if you will, that helped us to stay on the straight and narrow, to help us stay close as a family.
I don't think we ever really had discussion with the girls so much about Joey. Joey was just a part of their life. They were born. I think more it was how we would treat Joey so that they would know how to treat Joey. We did not want them to dislike their brother or to resent him. And so we were very careful about not expecting them to take Joey someplace with them when they got older and could drive. Joey is our responsibility. And so we've shared this numerous times, but you know, if we wanted to go out, like just say if Joey was 16 or 18, you can't get a 16 or 18 year old girl to come and watch Joey and help him get ready for bed and, you know, babysitter. And so we would treat our girls like they weren't ours. And we'd call them on the phone and go, hey, we need a babysitter. Well, it's really an adult sitter. Would you be able to care for our Joey? And then we'd say, you could have a girlfriend over, not a boyfriend, a girlfriend over. And then we would pay them. And we would just make some fun of it because we did not want them to feel the burden of, like, I'm responsible to do what they should be doing. And that's eating up my childhood. We did not want that. And I think for the most part, we did a pretty good job. And I've shared this story before that Christina one time, our daughters are Christina and Kathleen. Christina one time said to me, Mom, sometimes I feel like Cinderella. And I was like, oh, isn't that sweet? Well, that's not what she meant. She meant, like, I'm doing all the chores, you know? Because of those meetings that Joe just mentioned, we really had open relationship. They could talk to us about anything mm-hmm. personal, anything about other people they had questions about. And so that she could say to me what she just said, like, I feel like Cinderella, the one who's doing all the chores, allowed for me to have conversation with her and say, oh, my goodness, you're just so capable and so compliant that I don't even think about Christina, do this, Christina, do that, because you're willing and you're able. And I said, how about if we do this? I will write things down that maybe you could help with, and maybe by the end of the week you could check them off, so that it wasn't a demand and a quick hurry up and do it. And there were times trying to get out the door or something to say, could somebody tie Joey's shoes, you know, that we needed to have somebody step in quick like Cinderella. But once she said that, I became very, very careful about how I manage that. So, you know, it's not always perfect, but when you learn those kinds of things, then you take them to heart and you make a change so that you aren't having children who are resentful. And I don't think our girls are. I'm appreciative of that. In fact, they even said, people say, oh, like, your girls turned out so nicely and so great and everything. And I say, really, I think it's because we had Joey. And that's why they turned out, because they love a person who's very different. We've loved him, and they're caring for somebody, and they're loving people. So we're grateful for Joey, because I think he's raised us all in a way.
Yeah. You know, like anything else, I mean, with your children and or any children, parenting, a lot of that is more caught than taught. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, our girls caught us, if you will, serving their brother. And we've had some challenging times, and they've seen us at the worst of times and the best of times. And that matured them at a very early age to recognize that, you know, we need to pitch in at this point. My home family is different than my other friends' families. And so they began to realize this is our family, and we just need to step up and do what we need to do to make this a family thing. And I think you got a great story there about when Christina was 12 years old. She saw some of our friends getting divorced and having difficult times in their marriage. And so this little 12-year-old, she's pretty perceptive. And so with that as background.
Yeah. So Christina was 12, and she was reasoning with this couple that was a friend of ours. Like, what's going to happen with their children when the two of these parents aren't together? And she's asked me, what's going to happen with Joey someday? And I said, well, first of all, Dad and I do not use the word divorce in regards to our marriage. I mean, we're going to work through some hard things, but we're not going to divorce ever. And so I wanted her to understand that and have a firm foundation in knowing that. But I felt like it was beyond that. I felt like, what are you going to do with Joey someday? And so we began to pursue that, and that was part of her question. And I said, honey, you do not have to worry about Joey. We are responsible for Joey. You're 12 years old, and we do have some things in place, some things in, you know, like we have a trust for Joey and some different things. We have things in place. She wouldn't have understood that, sure. But for her to know, we have things in line that if something happens to us, he would be taken care of, and so would they if they were young. And we just said, so you don't have to worry about taking care of Joey. And she said, well, I want you to know I would want to do that. And I said, okay, well, that's wonderful. Well, 12 years old blew me away. But then I said to her, but that's, you have to understand, honey, you don't know who you're going to marry. They may not want to have a special needs brother into their family of yours. And she said, why would I marry them? So as a result, I have to say that we have two son-in-laws that are wonderful with Joey.
That's good.
The beauty that both of our girls have said they would take Joey and share the responsibility of him is that if one would want to go on vacation, the other could have Joey so that they could still maintain their own family and the other would take care of Joey. Yeah. And Joey really probably could care less if he would go on some different vacations. He's got his own simple little life, and he'll follow us and be with us, and that's great. But they would be able to maintain also their own individual identities as family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you take us back when Joey was born? Because as you said, there is no manual for parents. I remember when we had our first child, I was so overwhelmed. I'm like, I was just afraid to get her into the car, in a car seat, to drive her home. I was like afraid of everything. Like, I remember sitting up at night going, I am not going to sleep for the rest of my life. And, you know, I ended up sleeping
for
the rest of my life.
Every night for the rest of your life.
But I'm just saying, like, I was completely overwhelmed. Yeah. Can you talk to us about the challenges, the stresses, the differences of having a special needs child? And then I'd love to really follow up that question with, when you had this child, did you ever foresee having other children, or saying, wow, this is just completely overwhelming, and maybe we may not have other kids?
Yeah, it's good questions. First, you need to have an engineering degree to figure out those car seats. So I'll just tell you
that's right.
So I'm right with you on that one, brother. You know, the reality is that after you said, I do, you walked down that aisle with an invisible set of blueprints kind of tucked underneath your arms. And upon those blueprints, you're going to march off and do your marriage. The problem is that your spouse also has a set of blueprints tucked underneath his or her arms. And upon those blueprints, they set off to build their marriage. The bigger problem is that you got two different sets of blueprints now, all right, which is always a formula for conflict, for whatever it is you're building, trying to build. And so you begin the process of beginning to work together to merge those blueprints to create, if you will, a plan. And then in comes a special needs child. At that point in time, you just throw those blueprints away, all right? Because now we have a different game plan going on here. And the tragedy of many special needs parents, families, is that if you're not willing to make those adjustments to your blueprint, you're going to become one of the 87 percenters that will bail out of their marriage. And that's the statistics that we just heard just last week, is that 87% of marriages with special needs children will end in divorce. And so it requires you to, number one, have a total, unconditional surrender to each other, okay? And that flows out of, number one, I think, an unconditional surrender to the Lordship of Christ. I mean, Christ is the center of our marriage. And he, you know, he basically is the one that dictates the blueprint now that we have to live by and desire to live by. And the girls, I think they just, it's one of those things that we said before that they caught it. They just caught it that, you know, there's something different about our family. And it's not that we're strange or weird about anything. It's just that there are certain things we have to do in order to make things click in our family. And I'm very grateful for our girls that they basically very compliant and to what needs to be done, and they're willing to pitch in and do what has to be done.
Well, I would just say, in going back to when Joey was born, that you know, Joe and I, in our background, we don't have any, you know, big blaring things that would have caused for Joey to be special. And that was hard for both of us. I mean, Joe was a dentist. You know, he's educated. I'm educated. I'm not as smart as Joe. But for me, thinking that Joey was not going to be able to learn much of anything. I mean, he can read, which is a blessing. But his verbal skills are very low, so you can't really understand him. But, you know, we didn't know any of that. So when Joey was born and we were beginning to see he wasn't hitting his milestones, and then we were getting the diagnosis, which cerebral palsy, epilepsy, as he got older, very low verbal skills, intellectually delayed, and on his different records, it did say mentally retarded, which was generally used there. And I actually think that's a good term. I just think it's misused when people say it in a negative way, but it is a very good diagnosis because he is slow mentally. And so, and in fact, even if you say something to him, you have to give him 10 seconds or so for him to let it, however it goes, for him to be able to respond in some way. And sometimes he never responds. So all that to say, we didn't, you know, our background was such that this just was a shock. Like, if we had been doing drugs and doing different things, we might have said, oh, that's why. There wasn't a reason why, and who knows why. I don't think we always get an answer to the whys that happen in our life that are not part of our plan or our blueprint. So when Joey wasn't hitting his milestones, we began the journey of doctors and therapists and all that sort of thing. And I think what was hard was some family members who maybe did have those kinds of things in their background to watch their own children growing up perfectly normal and everything's fine was hurtful to us almost, you know? But I remember Joe one time we were coming home after a situation with some different people, and he said, just imagine, Joey, if that family had to take care of him. And it really switched my thinking around. It really made me be, not that I didn't care about him or love him. I loved him dearly. I took him to all of his appointments and I did everything I could to help him. But what I think it helped me do was switch my thinking to, I'm glad it's me. I'm glad it's me that gets to do it, not somebody else. Or I'm glad he's not in that family or that other family that maybe wouldn't have the means or the ability or willingness to take care of him the way we did. And so now 45 years later, I look just at a lot of different things, and I just give thanks that we were able to. And I hope we can for a lot more years, you know. Right. And then the second part of your question was, refresh my memory, now I'm forgetting.
Oh, great. Yes. I was so enthralled with the conversation for a second. It was, you know, after you have your first child, were you doubting having other children? I mean, there must be a fear of saying, well, if this happened once, if it happens again. I mean, you believe in Christ. You believe in the Lord, and every child is a miracle. But still, you have those doubts and those reservations and the cost and just that stress of another one. were there any doubt of having other children, or you're just like,
I think as much as we went into the first one pretty naive, you know, like, what could go wrong, you know? I think I went into the second one the same way, thinking, well, it couldn't possibly happen twice. Mm-hmm. And then we went to a church, not our church, one day, and in front of us were sitting three special needs adults, mm-hmm. children to the couple that was there. Mm-hmm. And I think we trusted in God for whatever would happen. You know, there have been different mm-hmm. situations where people have adopted. They have a special needs child and they adopt another one. And we've seen that over and over and over. I really felt like if God gave that to me, I would deal with it, handle it. I would take care of them and love them. But I really hoped that it wouldn't. And I have not had a desire to add another to the family, like as an adoption or something like that. But I do know when we, both of our two first children were first tries. So we didn't wait a long time. We were going to try to have a baby and then we got pregnant, you know. But the third one, she came 5.5 years later, and we had wished for her to be closer in age to Christina, our Kathleen. But it took a little bit longer to have her. And I remember in between, after having Christina, Joe just said, you know, if we have another one and there's like a challenge, it's kind of like, please don't ask for us to have another one. You know, like maybe three would be good. And then when she was born 3.5 weeks early, she came early and she wound up being in NICU. And I was like, oh no, wound up being fine. And in fact, her lungs were undeveloped. And would you believe she's a singer and she sings like, she doesn't sing opera, but she can get those opera. And that's what she does for a living. She sings, she's in acting and all that sort of thing. So, we just kind of laugh at how the Lord,
that's awesome.
That was her beginning. And then this is where the Lord took her. So I think we just jumped in 2 feet, kind of like when he started his dental practice. He says, you just have to have a moment of temporary insanity and you do it and you don't look back.
Well, as you know, of any businesses, that does take a little moment of insanity sometimes to think that this is the right thing. But, for me personally, as you know, being a guy, I mean, I'll just speak from a father's guy's perspective. I'm happy to say that Cindy bought into the reality of Joey a lot quicker than I did. I kind of fought this one, my whole life revolved around mm-hmm. sports and doing things, with that. And so when I had our first son, when we first found out our first child was going to be a boy, I mean, you can imagine what was going through my head, right? I mean, just to give you a hint on this one, when we brought Joey home from the hospital, he was wearing a Ohio State sleeper. He had an autographed Cleveland Browns football stuffed in the corner of his crib. And he had an autographed Cleveland Indians and baseball cap in the other side of the crib. And so I had some pretty big dreams for my son. And, those dreams came crashing down around us around 9 months, mm-hmm. I think, when those markers were not being made. And I remember we had, that was a difficult time. And thankfully, mm-hmm. Cindy jumped in, feet first on this one. And I came in kicking and dragging on this one. But we did have one of our elders of our church came who heard about what was going on. And the bottom line of what his message was is that, you have to just understand that God made Joey just the way he wanted him made. And I didn't like that at first, to be honest with you. I wasn't too keen to that message. And but then, I began to realize that there is a message here. The life of Joey is a message for others to grow from and learn from. And I'm reminded of the biblical story of blind Bartimaeus. And as you recall, there's that story appears three times in the Gospels. And Bartimaeus was born blind. And in one of those instances, the disciples asked Jesus, so who sinned? Was it the parents or was it, Bartimaeus that sinned? And Jesus responds, neither of them sinned. It was that child was born the way he was so that there would be a message that would bring honor and glory to God. And we like to think that, Joey has, well, we know for a fact that Joey's, the life of Joey has had a great impact on a lot of people's lives. Mm-hmm. And this last book that we wrote basically was one that helped us to really formulate and pull together all those different aspects of race and a special needs child. And, you know, beginning with the beginning, I mean, the first chapter of our book is called The Death of a Vision. And, you know, every parent has dreams for their children. And when those dreams don't become reality, it's the death of that vision. And unless you're willing to adjust and get that blueprint figured out to right where it needs to be, you're going to have a very difficult time. And tragically, as I said before, we've met many people, and not just yeah. men, but many women as well, who basically said, "Hey, I didn't sign up for this one. I'm out of here." And that's obviously very hurtful, and it doesn't solve any problems yeah. at all. It just makes yeah. it more difficult for the spouse who remains. And but if we can help and come alongside of a husband and wife mm-hmm. just beginning this journey, then we want to make sure we can do that and do that well. And that really is the first, like I said, the first chapter of the book was to let them know they're not alone. And that's the biggest thing, I think, for special needs parents and the special needs journey is mm-hmm. is the issue of isolation. Many mm-hmm. people with special needs children, they isolate because it's hurtful out there, mm-hmm. you know. When you begin comparing your child with your friend's child who's mm-hmm. just perfectly fine and catching the ball and running. And all, you know, Joey's 45 years old. I've never been able to play catch with my son. Right. And that's just, you know, the reality that I had to come to grips with. But it's just something that his story has been able to have an impact on a lot of people's lives that otherwise would not have been impacted.
Your book is a great resource for mm-hmm. special needs parents. And like I heard you just say about the isolation mm-hmm. and feeling alone, where else can special needs parents go? Are there communities, other resources that you could recommend to them?
Well, before you answer that, because you have a great answer to that, I just want to bring up some facts that I think many people don't realize exist. I mean, one out of three households in America today have a person with a disability. Yet, 47% mm-hmm. of them have left their church because their child with disabilities was mm-hmm. not welcomed or included in that church community. Mm-hmm. That has to end. You know, that has to end. And, you know, yeah. if we can help someone reduce social isolation and help to create a sense of community with their existing environment or bring them into a community of people that realize that, you know, again, you're not alone on this one. And we want to, you know, we want to enhance the quality of your life as much as possible. But you have something to say there.
Well, I would say to come to our website and they can scroll through and find different things there. I try to keep an updated list of people to contact or people that would be helpful and influential. We just got back from a conference just this past weekend, and I have so much on my desk right now. Whoever's listening, give me a week, and I'll try to put them on, because there's so many helpful people out there. And if somebody would have a question and I don't have an answer, I could, if they email me through our website, which is either cindyfarini.com or Joe Farini, we have resources. There are so many things out there to help, but whether it's church related or financially related, you need to start making those connections with people, so that even if you don't get your answer from the first person, you ask that person, who else could I contact? No matter the topic, it could be school, it could be medical, it could be mental. So, you know, don't just ask one or two people. You need to dig. And one thing that we also comment in our writings is that, you know, sometimes the first person that you contact and they are helping you maybe isn't the one you stay with along the way, because you're going to have different needs that will come up, and that may not be as valuable anymore is something else that comes up. And we have had over time, not many, but a couple of medical professionals that it just didn't fit right, you know, so we moved on to somebody else. And actually, Joey's pediatric neurologist is still his neurologist because
45.
Joey's not as complicated in terms of what this doctor does. So he said, I'll keep Joey. The first one that we had did not work out so well for a couple of different reasons. And so this one did, and it's probably been 30 some years we're with him. I'd have to think about it, but a long, long time. We tell him, don't retire. Do not retire. I don't know what we're going to do, but we would love to help. I mean, if somebody just gets in touch with us at our website. Also, I am on Facebook at Cindy Farini, on Instagram at Cindy Farini. And one place I'm going to try to be driving most of the information and helps is at Unexpected Journey, and that's on Facebook. And there's a picture of us. But Unexpected Journey is the title of our first book, and it really just fits the other books as well. So we're going to try to drive as many people as we can there, because that's where I'll put a lot of helps.
So it's Cindy, it's CindiFerrini, and it's Joe, Joe, nice and easy, Farini, FERRINI.com.
Just like it sounds.
Just like it sounds. I just, before you wrap up, because my husband does a good wrap up, I just want to say a couple things. I'm super thankful that you came on our show, and because all our listeners, and I know everyone, like you said, one in three have some kind of special needs at home. And, you know, us just raising six kids, I know, and just you telling a little bit of your story, and I know it's very positive, but I know that there is moments, and Joe, especially when you're talking about when he came home from just how difficult and probably deflating it would felt many years of your life. And I think it's so helpful for people to know that they are not alone. You have resources, and you have different types of resources, which I'm really thankful for. The fact that you didn't put it on your other children, say, hey, this is your responsibility. You need to be here. You need to take care of your brother, and the burden that you put on. I love how you spoke with them and talked with them and shared, you know, the story with them, because it shows the parents you are. So I know that they came out, the reason they came out so amazing is because of you guys. So it's obvious. I just want to give that plug to you.
The Lord gets the credit.
You know, and actually they have said, you know, really, Joey raised us all. Yeah. And I'm appreciative of that, because I think God gave us Joey and allowed Joey to sort of chip off the rough edges of things. We still have a bunch left, but Joey has been given to us to make us reflect Christ more, and I hope that we've done that in our living and in our yeah. the things that
well,
we've done ministry wise.
Sure.
That's our prayer.
I really thank you for that.
Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, as I wrap up the show, I heard it once said somewhere. I don't know where I heard it said, but I heard it said that God gives us the children that we can parent. And obviously he gave you Joey because he knew that Joey would be in great hands with you. And I'm just astonished that 87% of parents who have a special needs child end up getting divorced. So the 13%, I would imagine, really lean into what you have leaned into as far as taking it as a responsibility, having that blueprint right. where you might want the Mediterranean and she wants the ranch. And it's like, well, we ain't getting that. We're going to get a little lakeside cottage. That's where the blueprint is now. And being able to pivot in life. And that is the challenge in life, is because we think we want something, but that's not what we want.
We're also open to what God's plan.
It's not what the Lord's plan is.
You got God's blueprint too.
Yes. And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so for anybody out there, you know, that has a special needs parent, go to CindyFarini.com, JoeFarini.com, Moody's, they're on Moody's website as well with this book. You can go on Amazon and buy it.
Definitely share this podcast, share the information with, we all know families with special needs. If we don't have one, we know of someone.
But you know what's incredible? As we're talking about this podcast, as it being a special needs podcast, this is just a podcast about family and faith and just developing
well, embracing it, what God gave you,
but also raising other healthy kids. Like all the kids have, it's a great family relationship. 100%. Having, you know, dad's dates. Why do you think your daughters ended up that way? Mm-hmm. It's because they had dates with their dad. That's you were their role model. And they're like, they grew up that way. Yeah. So it's important. Yeah. So whether there is a special need or not, there's
Gino
a lot
has
to take
five
away.
Daughters. So now you just he's going to be out a lot. He's going to be out a lot. Me and Michael will go out.
A lot of donuts.
Right.
I got to skip the donuts, Joe. It's getting a little cholesterol there for me. So I'm just saying, I think it's interesting that it's centered on the special need, but really this is, to me, is a podcast about family. Yeah. It's about faith. It's about pivoting.
Yeah.
It's about sometimes not getting what you want and making, you know, getting lemons and making lemonade out
surrender.
Of lemons.
The word is surrender.
Just surrender. Okay. Yeah. You wrap it up much more eloquently than I do. I'm looking for the words because I don't want it to be.
You're thinking about donuts. That's why.
I'm thinking about pizza right now, actually, not donuts. I'd rather go for a slice of pizza than donuts. So once again, the website, cindyfreeney.com, joefreeney.com. The book is The Special Needs Parent. And we want to thank you both for being on. And we want to thank the listeners.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For being on.
I want to know any last words for the listeners from the two of you.
You know, I think you summed it up when you said surrender. That is the last chapter of the book. And I think if we don't surrender, we're going to be fighting and all to the end of our days. And we just want to glorify God in and through what he's given us. It's a challenge, you know, but we want to rise to the challenge. We want to serve him as unto the Lord. And because you want to serve as unto the Lord, that is surrender. Mm-hmm.
The other key phrase that we use is embrace the season, embrace the place where you're at. And if that surrender is a critical part of being able to do that. And that's a moment by moment, day by day decision that parents have to take with every child, but especially with the special needs child.
And the acronym, together, each accomplish more.
Team.
TEAM.
Good
together,
job.
Each accomplishes more.
Yes. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. This is Gino and Julia Barbaro, and we'll see you on next week's podcast. Take care, everybody.
Okay.
Thank you.